Hello, everyone. Thank you again so much for taking time out to listen to this broadcast today out of BBS Radio Station 1. This is Lynn, a mystic healer, spiritual emergency training, which ties into so many aspects of what's going on actually on the planet right now for shifting the consciousness, the emotional coping skills that have been trained on the planet, and bringing in the new emotional systems that are really education, job creation, programming that are really, really necessary for our evolving, loving consciousness programs out there. And I have two special guests today. Well, one, Andy's been with me quite a few times. Thank you, Andy. Real quick, Andy Miller grew up in the Jewish tradition, and he is more Unitarian Universalist now, he also has been doing computer programming since 1973, writing emails, 1971, whoa! And his mother won awards for literacy. And also, too, today, very special guest again, and his name is Rich Procida. He's an attorney and a constitutional lawyer, and he's an author who writes about progressive Christianity. Progressive Christianity is so important. The Christ consciousness, the still small voice within, tied to the science of psychics and spirituality and metaphysics and physics and, yeah, real quick. Anyway, social justice and supernatural for LA Progressive. .com and modernelectionaries.blogspot.com. He also produces a podcast called Bible Studies for Progressives. He is especially adroit at discussing the intersection between religion and politics. And my guides are that these two people that I have on my call today are world shifters of what other people are calling the new era of peace.org and what have you, the divine government, and bringing in the new legislation, process, and programs, the importance of bringing in one nation under God, the true pledge of allegiance systems. I pledge allegiance to the flag, all the Congress people, schools, and all the city councils, and all the community meetings, commissioner meetings, all the meetings open up with, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So we're talking about God within each person and bringing in the new consciousness at that level, and why impeachment. We're going to be talking about impeachment today, and go for it. Here you guys go. Thank you. Why it's important to shift the government projects and programs and get how we can do it. Go for it, you guys.
Well, I think impeachment is mandatory at this point. Trump attempted to obstruct the investigation into Russian interference in our election. He must be held accountable, and impeachment is the remedy. It's not waiting until after the elections in the hope that he may go to jail if he loses, which is no guarantee at all. It's impeachment. If we're going to protect our democracy and defend the Constitution, we cannot have a man in the Oval Office who is above the law. We are in a time now where democracy is under attack. We have the rise of fascism and authoritarianism, nationalism, and white supremacy. This has created a refugee crisis. We've got climate change, which is going to create more refugees. The failure of the Arab Spring to establish democracies and the United States' failures to support democracy in the world, in fact, to oppose democracy and frustrate democracy throughout the world. The Arab Spring is an example. We lost democracy in Egypt. We have yet to obtain it in Libya. Now we're helping the Saudis destroy social movements for democracy and justice in Yemen and Bahrain. So all of these things are creating a crisis, and that crisis is causing people to resort to scapegoating and building walls that will prevent the hordes of climate refugees and the hordes of people coming from the Arab Spring. All they want to build a wall as if we were going to protect ourselves in this little gated community here in the United States. But all of this is putting pressure on democracy. And this is the struggle. Should we have an authoritarian government in which the ruler is allowed to violate the law at will? Should we have constitutional democracy in which the executive is held accountable for any violation of the laws that he's committed? It's important to uphold the law because it's important to defend the Constitution and the separation of powers. We should not fail to prosecute simply because we're afraid we might lose. We can't be afraid of losing. First of all, there's no guarantee that we know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know what's going to happen. In 2 years, we could be at war with Iran, or the economy could collapse. So we have no idea what's going to happen in 2 years. We have no idea whether Trump is going to win or lose. But I fear that if we don't hold him accountable, what it's going to look like is that Trump is right. No collusion, no obstruction. It was all just a witch hunt. And if we continue to investigate him without any goal or objective to hold him accountable through an impeachment inquiry, it's just going to look like we're harassing him. If we have the evidence that this man has committed high crimes and misdemeanors in office, we must prosecute. We must hold him accountable. And we can't just say because he's in office or because he might win the election or because he's the president or because he's Donald Trump, that we're not going to prosecute this man. When we're prosecuting people all the way across the country for much lesser crimes. And he doesn't have to be a crime to be impeached. It just has to be a breach of ethics that is sufficient to justify.
Personally, I agree with you. But I have some questions, if you will, because some people have raised valid arguments about the timing and the nature of the impeachment. So if I may play devil's advocate, one of the biggest questions is, you say, if we have the evidence. Well, that's a question of public perception. And right now, some people argue that the public doesn't have a big enough perception that there is evidence, that they, in fact, think there is no evidence. The counter-argument, of course, is that during impeachment it all comes out, but the counter-counter is it only comes out to those who are watching media that describes that evidence. So you could make a case that there isn't sufficient evidence in the minds of the public right now, and that what the Democrats would try and do is to build that case. And I can't yet refute that argument.
There is evidence, I believe, that if Pelosi was to say that, oh, we just don't have the evidence.
Just a second. Hang right there. Just think about it for a minute. Don, if you can hear me, Don, Rich is coming through very garbled. Can you clear Rich's line? Should Rich call in himself? Because I don't know, or whatever you think, Don?
At any rate, I'll just ask a couple more questions then. Another issue is that some people may feel that Nancy Pelosi has sway over Trump, and as long as impeachment is held over his head like a sword of Damocles, he'll not only commit even more obvious crimes that'll make it more obvious, but I was thinking maybe the other day one of the reasons why he canceled invading Iran was he got a veiled threat from Nancy Pelosi. So maybe we stopped a war by holding off on our timing on impeachment. I'm of two minds. I can see both sides of the coin. It's clear that he has to be held accountable, that they all have to be held accountable. I'm just not quite sure that impeachment inquiry, I believe in an impeachment inquiry, But to the public out in the world, that's the same thing as an impeachment. I mean, to you and I, we're plugged in. They should have been an inquiry, or as Donnie Deutsch says, a criminal inquiry now already. In fact, they sort of are without calling it one.
Well, but the other part of that is, too, they're underestimating the UNAC.org, the United National Anti-War Coalition group, .org, UNAC.org, everyone, and with the Veterans for Peace, Code Pink. There's a massive, massive peace movement, the Peace Alliance.org. I mean, there's a massive, massive peace groups and alliances out there that, you know, aren't AGNT.org, working with the World Parliament of Religions. There's a massive movement for the Friends Council of National Legislation.org to help stop brutality and violence, which and hate, which actually includes war, right? Anyway, go ahead, Rich. Go ahead with your... And the Emollients Clause, what about that? I mean, there's, you know, all those different lawsuits that people are not being told about that are going on behind the scenes, too, that gives people...
In 4 days, two primetime nights of Democrats will be speaking on mainstream media and on internet, and one or two of them will be specifically indicting Trump. And I want to see what happens after 4 days from now.
Go ahead, Rich.
So did okay? Go. Am I coming through? Yeah, okay.
Yes, you said. I wanted to say yes. You sound much better. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, great. So if there isn't enough evidence, then I'm okay with just ending all the investigations, because if there isn't enough evidence, we're just harassing them. But I believe that there was a little bit of misrepresentation by Barr when he issued the report. He should have issued the summary.
I would say more. I wouldn't be so generous. I say it was a gross negligent, if not malevolent, obstruction of justice on his part.
Yeah, and I would add, because I was aware of what he would do, and the fact that he said that the president is not exonerated, for me, that's all you need. If the president has not been exonerated of a crime, then there needs to be an investigation.
See, here's the problem, Rich. You and I have probably, I haven't read the whole report, but I've read a lot of experts. I've read excerpts. I've heard a lot of experts summarize it. You and I know there's piles of evidence. There's at least three or four slam dunk obstruction of justice issues before we even get into foreign manipulation and so-called collusion, just because they couldn't find sufficient evidence to rise to a level of conspiracy beyond a reasonable doubt does not mean there was 100 whatever times they coordinated with Russians. It's pretty obvious to you and I. But out in the world where people really don't pay much attention, they get scant news reports from whatever outlet they choose to get it from. To them, to a lot of people, yet there isn't evidence in their head, or they're being told there isn't evidence. So whether there is, it's the same disparity about perception as reality.
I agree that people are not aware of what's going on. I think that's why we need to begin an impeachment inquiry, in order to bring that awareness to the public.
And what do you do when Trump says,
your phone is starting to fade again. I don't know if you moved
it. Maybe I'm
there.
I'm probably
that's
a
better.
Little.
That's better.
Okay, I'll be.
Thank you.
So
okay,
what do we do when Trump gets on Fox TV and they convince 35% of the public that it's all nonsense, it's all Democratic presidential harassment, blah, 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 no collusion? And he does his neuro-linguistic programming trick, and people fall for the nonsense.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen if we don't move forward with impeachment. I mean, if
I can find either way. I could find both arguments for both. I can see both sides.
I think there's a little bit of a propaganda thing going on here. Pelosi came out with this idea that Trump really wants to be impeached. Now, that's ludicrous, and it requires people to believe that the opposite of what Trump has said for years about ending the investigation, it being a witch hunt, stop the investigation. In fact, we want to consider the fact that Trump was stomping around in a meeting with Pelosi saying he wants the investigation to end, and the first thing Pelosi does when she gets out of that meeting is try to kill the impeachment inquiry. So when we talk
really
about...
It doesn't matter, because in the eyes of the Republican partisans, she's a devil spawn anyway.
Well, yeah,
But the thing is, she's tried to kill the impeachment inquiry before it even started. So the issue is not, I mean, yes, there's going to be people and Trump is going to convince people, but we really need to get this information out here. We need to start first with what is Congress's duty, you know, because we can't predict the future. Right. We don't know.
Why would Pelosi, quote, kill the initiative for an inquiry? Why would she do that?
Basically, she wants to run Republican-like candidates. Her main primary, and of course, I can't get into Pelosi's mind, so I can only speculate as to that. But the primary reason is she wants to preserve her speakership. Her speakership is more important than American democracy. She would sell our democracy down the river for a piddly little infrastructure plan that is probably barely going to make it out of the Senate. So,
well, I don't think we're going to get any infrastructure plan at all, actually.
Right. But she would try and sell us down the river, sell our democracy down the river to try and get something ridiculous like that.
So why would she do that?
Well, because she's a corporate Democrat, and she's only interested in maintaining her power. But it caused me to speculate on why would she lie to us about the president not wanting to be impeached. Why should that an obvious and outright lie? It cannot be true. It would require us to believe the opposite of everything Trump has said prior to that day. So why would she lie to us about that?
There are a lot of people saying a lot of things about a lot of people, and there are a lot of varying views on a lot of things. And I am very hesitant to jump to conclusions about anybody, even Donald Trump. I make assessments of their character and their behavior, but there's too much room for influence in this propaganda. We're bathed in propaganda, so I'm skeptical of every time everybody says anything. I always question why, because I don't know what's the truth. The truth is a difficult thing to find underneath the layer of crap being spewed at us.
Talk about the actual aspects to, like, the Sunrise Movement, okay? The youth that are trying to get environmental...
Well, you asked us to talk about...
In relationship to the why we need the impeachment, because the person in power right now is head of the corporatocracy. He's like, probably like the king of Bilderbergs, okay? And that's corporatocracy.
I agree that impeachment inquiry should be open. An actual impeachment that ends up with a non-hearing in Congress and Senate poses interesting problems. Most of the world hears the word impeachment. They think you hold the trial, it's done. And as Rich knows, it's more complicated than that.
But I'm just saying, how do we go use the Constitution and say we need to get, you know, he was supposed to drain the swamp. It's, you know, obviously way worse. He's filling it, right? Because birds of the feather are flocking together in the power of the corporatocracy. So how do we use the Constitution to shift, and without impeachment, to shift those systems so that we get those kind of people either arrested for crimes against humanity and war crimes, or how do we get them moved out of office and get the youth and get the new systems in place, you know, that honor, the Green Party, too.
Get everybody to vote. Work on ballot access. Get everybody to vote. Public funding campaigns, vote. That's how you change it. Our Constitution is being pushed to the limit. In fact, one of the problems I see is our legal system is way too slow to meet the needs of the 21st century. We've got criminals who can move faster than the law and use the law as a delaying tactic. So our Constitution is being bent and contorted different ways. So I'm not sure the Constitution can handle this. It's like a
That's
trial.
That's right, Rich. What do you think? How do we do it? You're the constitutional lawyer. Go for it. What can we
I think we need to open an impeachment inquiry immediately. And I want to just clarify that when I say impeachment, I'm not talking about impeaching the president necessarily. I'm only for that after an inquiry has run its course and the case has been made. So I'm not stepping out in front.
Rich, Rich, I have to. I'm sorry. I just on that inquiry. Isn't it true once the impeachment starts legally? Is this am I right on this constitutional aspect that once the inquiry starts, no more pardons. He can't pardon his buddies anymore, or nepotism, or you know what's been else has been going on, right? Right. He can't.
That I actually don't have. I don't know the answer.
Okay.
To that
can I address
question.
That?
I'm sorry.
Can I address that? Given the track record of the current president, he seems not to care what his constitutional rights are. He seems to go ahead and do it anyway until challenged. So whether or not he's prohibited, he will probably try it anyway. That's my opinion. Rich, I agree with you about opening an inquiry. Donnie Deutsch suggested changing the name to a criminal inquiry so that it sounded better for the public, and I kind of like that branding idea.
Yeah, I don't think that's important. I think it's important that it be an impeachment inquiry and that we move forward with it as it's supposed to be and not be. I think one of the answers to your question is she's afraid. She wants to get, and she's actually selling fear. Now, what's going on in her mind and what's really happening? There's other things to consider. What are they hiding from us? Will an impeachment inquiry uncover the underbelly of our politics?
Yeah.
What are the Democrats hiding from us?
My instinct says that most of the Democrats are not involved in this corruption, that they're clean from this, and that it would uncover only Republicans in the Senate. I find it difficult to believe that Pelosi's afraid, but maybe you're right. Either
well,
way,
that's what
I
she's
see
pushing. That's what
okay,
she's saying,
whatever,
right?
I don't know, but my point is it's irrelevant because I think an impeachment inquiry is just about 100% certain.
I don't think they can avoid it. Yeah, I hope so, too, but I think we need to put pressure on, and we need to get rid of the interference in our elections that is causing people to have unclear ideas about this. In other words, Pelosi
publicly
comes out
funded campaign.
Yeah, that would be great if that were possible. That would be 100%.
Automatic voting rights for everyone, and the national popular vote would really be helpful too. Ranked choice, national popular vote.
Transparency in the voting systems. Make sure you register and keep on your registration vote. Get everybody else to vote. Ballot access so we're not stuck with Tweedledee and Tweedledum for our candidates, yada, yada, yada.
But how do you do, that's in Ballotpedia, right? .org has a lot of that info, right? Andy, that ballot, yes, site.org. Okay, so what do you think, Rich, on that aspect of propaganda? So, you know, educate every system that the government...
The problem is one of perspective, Rich, as you know. The public perspective lags way behind what you and I see plugged into the facts.
I don't think that's any different from the impeachment proceedings in the past. Somebody said that you get the votes for impeachment when you get the votes for impeachment. We need to start revealing, and I don't think that an impeachment inquiry necessarily leads to impeachment unless there are impeachable offenses. And I think we shouldn't be afraid. And I think this tactic is a delaying tactic. It's that you open impeachment investigations already. Don't delay it, and don't try to avoid
it. Let me ask you a question. What do you do about these two things? One is the Democrats say we have facts, the public, for whatever propaganda reason, doesn't believe it. And what do you do about item number two? Are you prepared for an impeachment without a removal from office and the ramifications that that has?
Oh, absolutely. I think that the public, obviously there's people. We have a very divided public right now, and it's partly the propaganda from the left, from the right, from Russia, and other foreign actors. So this has been confusing us. Now, the impeachment is to, like, for instance, Pelosi wants to go around passing legislation in order to show all the special interest groups that we're trying to pass legislation, yet the Republicans are blocking us in the Senate. Well, that doesn't accomplish anything either, and it's not as good as an impeachment. When we put the evidence out there, when the evidence comes out through live testimony, when the American people start to see and understand what Trump is doing, and we also have a problem with values, with caring whether he's corrupt or not, but once people begin to see and the allegations come out, the behaviors come out, we've already got 60% of the people who are not happy with Trump necessarily. So
okay, let me say, if I totally agree with you, but I have one question. What do you do when the Mark Levins and the Rush Limbaughs of the world say it's all lies?
Well, you have to respond. I've always had this view that with speech, you need more speech. And that's why I'm coming on this radio show, to clear up all the misunderstandings, to let people know that when you have a president who has committed crimes in office, you cannot allow that president to get away with it. It's just not good for democracy. It's not good for executives. It's not fair to people who are being arrested for crimes and prosecuted by prosecutors. And yet, because this person has a position of power, because he might be able to manipulate the public, because we're afraid that we might lose the election if we try and take him on, there's no reason to allow a man to get away with high crimes and misdemeanors in office. It's a mistake.
I think that Robert Mueller must testify in open Congress, even if he sits there and reads the report. People want to see the movie. They won't read the book. And I'm very upset that they had produced a 400-page legal document that said if we could exonerate him, we would so say. It's in legalese. It's not in palatable English for normal folk. And I'm upset that the guy who is investigating the president is refrained from indicting the president. That's sort of like, you know, the police are investigated by the criminals. I think the whole thing is corrupt from top to bottom.
I think that we have to look at Mueller for who he is and
He followed the rules. No, I agree.
Yeah.
He was fair and he followed the rules. I'm just upset at some of the rules he followed, particularly this Justice Department policy that says you can't indict a president. Well, why isn't anybody challenging that?
Yeah, I think people are saying they disagree with it, but nobody's willing to challenge it. And I think
about 1,000 federal prosecutors in a petition.
Yeah.
Poor People's Campaign, okay? The poorpeoplescampaign.org, why wasn't that massively put out, especially the congressional meeting part? Why wasn't that massively put out through, you know, every church, every town, every mainstream media?
Well, actually, the good side is partly because of them, reparations has become an election issue.
Well, I'm not comfortable with that aspect, because it can cause more trouble. I'm just going to put it out here, you guys. I'm looking for help with legislation that will shift all these systems, okay? It's a new HWPA that goes with heart and soul-based community services or evolving consciousness, community services that resonate. Everyone gets jobs, so we have a heart and soul-based community services, bring the power and the monies back to communities, and they can have heart and soul community services with a good basic guaranteed income, with single payer, okay? Instead of instead of signing people up for more military or even more citizen soldiers, and I mean, come on, with to paying them to learn to use more guns and then more trauma, and then give them health care. No, we have 883 military bases in 177 countries, and it must be checked. You know, that the whole military-industrial complex, penal-industrial complex, all these systems, you know, the drugging, the warring, the coping, I mean, that is not just the emotional system, but it's also tied directly into the environmental systems that have to be shifted, and we've got to get people realizing that the corporatocracy is not going in that direction, and it's not good for our political, it's not good for America. Okay, we really need to see the way.
As we speak, As you speak, there are presidential candidates in South Carolina, maybe using different, more mainstream phrasing, but saying all that. And there are some people in Congress that are saying all that. And until we rid our political system of this blight, none of that stuff's going to happen.
But that's why Rich is saying, we really, by doing the impeachment inquiry, it sets up people checking into the Bilderbergs, okay? It checks into the group. It helps the group stand up to ALEC or corporate accountability and Elizabeth Warren's background in that with their law. And checking into what are they doing with our tax dollars? You know, not just, you know, I mean, that tracker subsidy site that you gave, Andy, was fabulous. Thank you. Tracker subsidies, everyone. Check that one out. It's really important. So we follow the money, okay?
But my point is that that's already
the audit on the Pentagon,
That's already being done.
I'm just saying those are part of the accountability that won't be in check. We can't get our Justice Department back if we don't do the impeachment inquiry. It's like,
even if we do the impeachment inquiry and the impeachment, there's no guarantee of getting your Justice Department back because the systemic problems that occur are beyond. This is a symptom of a cancer in our system.
Okay,
and it's
so
an important symptom, but
lawyer,
Trump is a symptom.
What would you do, Rich? What would you say to do?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Poor People's Campaign. And they have four pillars. Poverty, these are kind of like intersections or issues that they're trying to deal with. Poverty, militarism, environmental devastation, and racism or systemic racism. And what's disappointing about some of these groups is that, look, Evan Trump is at the center of all those things. You want to help the poor? Trump is cutting services to the poor, wants to reduce aid to the poor while he gives big tax cuts to his rich buddies.
Yeah.
He's going to pursue a war in Iran. It's very cynical. He will murder people, and it's all about getting reelected. And the only reason,
Rich, may I interject briefly just to say one thing? The Poor People's Campaign is wonderful. Dr. Reverend Barber is systemic, but all the other issues that are out there, too, are all also symptoms that are being thwarted by Trump and the systemic problems in our government. And what most groups don't understand is it's all the same bottom-line problem.
It's politics. And the lack of true spirituality, which is true morality, which is the evolution of consciousness centers needed in every community. So if anyone's angry or upset, you develop these inner light, light workers' armies centers, if you want to call them that, inner peace police training, or healing art transformation service centers. But, I mean, these are really imperative to go beyond race, religion, genders, and political divides as quickly as possible.
I like what Reverend Barber said. He called it, the racial ecology. He used the word ecology in there. He tied a bunch of things together, which I think I'd love to have an hour to talk with Reverend Barber.
But you got to go straight, don't you think, Rich? We really need to go straight to source, you know, God within each person. That's the answers within each person. Grow up as a species individually and collectively and have these spaces where people go instead of to jail or off to war in these other programs, you know, that they can go, hey, I want to work with environmental. I want to work here. I want to work there. No, I feel good over there. I like the animals. They'll know. The answers are inside. Each person has God-given inalienable rights. It hooks into poorpeoplescampaign.org, and it hooks into all the HRC, human rights, human rights coalition outreach groups for social justice, and the churches should help this happen.
It was subtly wonderful that Reverend Barber had a white female pastor with him when they did the campaign here in D.C. I thought that was subtle.
Well, he's not all black either.
Right. He's triracial.
I know.
Not just biracial. Oh, Rich, I came across a Facebook page this morning. I didn't look at it closely, called Christians for Impeachment. I thought you might want to look.
That would be great. I'm going to try and look at that.
I don't know if it's any good. But it's right up your alley.
My articles on it.
Well, there's a bunch. And you guys, I just looked it up. There's like 10 or 12. There's a bunch of them now. And some are like, evangelicals that are just ripping for.
Yeah, I have a question for Rich. Rich, how can Christianity deal with those elements? We'll call them evangelical greedy people who've gone over to follow political opportunity instead of their calling. What do we do about that?
I think that we need to, like I've said before, return to the Bible. I've been working on a book and on an article and trying to put a show out on understanding progressive Christianity and looking at the history and recognizing that evangelical fundamentalism came in the 1920s as a reaction to modernism. And then the conservative evangelicalism arose in the 50s, but the right-wing politics really came out in the 70s. So what we've
Move
really
your phone again, Rich. Put your phone up. Sorry, hon. I can't.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you. So that's okay. So we've got to reunify, because what fundamentalists did when they split off from modernists is they neglected huge themes in Scripture. They neglected justice and God's preference for the poor, which is mentioned like 2,000 times in Scripture. And they had this split between the fundamentalists and what they're talking about being fundamental. Their beliefs are not that fundamental, and they're certainly not as fundamental as justice and care for the poor, lifting up the lowly, the widow, the orphan, the foreigner, as described in Scripture and throughout the ancient world, where people to whom benefits or our generosity should be meted out to. So we need a reunification or re-understanding that this fundamentalist has sort of neglected very important parts of Scripture, and that message needs to get out there to Christians, because Christians think the Bible is inerrant, or at least fundamentalists do, and yet do they really understand or look at or read what's in the Bible? Are they looking at it without their orthodox glasses on to see what it really says? So there's a lot of things.
Sorry to jump in there. 100 Bible verses, everyone, on loving your enemy. Okay, who would Jesus teach to kill? Who's he going to teach, have him sign up to teach to kill? Who would Jesus bomb, okay, or poison? Yeah. Come on.
And that's what I've been trying to do with writing my articles and writing my book and doing my podcast. And I just want to point out an article I have on this subject that I put out right after that meeting where Trump was stomping around saying the investigations must end, the investigations must end. And then lo and behold, Nancy Pelosi comes out and says, oh, Trump really wants us to impeach him. It's just a ridiculous thing.
What about enlisting the World Parliament of Religions?
I want to mention
to take over the United Nations, to infiltrate the United Nations. Would that work?
I want to mention my article real quick. It's a little plug.
Yeah, and your website and every contact for sure.
Well, the article is Pelosi Must Go. Our constitutional crisis requires strong leadership. And really, and in the end, this is weak leadership. When you have a leader who says, oh, we can't do anything about this violation of the law, we're afraid that if we do something, we're going to lose the election. In fact, Trump knows that, and he actually wants us to impeach him because he knows that if we do, we'll win the election. This is weak leadership. This is leadership that is operating on fear and not operating.
Come forward, Rich. It's really important what you're saying, Rich, and come forward more. I can't hear you.
Okay, I'm trying to keep it close to the phone.
Yeah,
thank you.
Go ahead.
Do you think, Rich, it would be possible, instead of moving to remove Pelosi and the chaos that ensues, to get her instead to open impeachment inquiry?
Yeah, I think I was very emotional and upset.
Oh, absolutely. I quite agree with your emotions. The problem is when we react emotionally, we begin to play into what they want us to be.
Yeah.
That may be true. And what happened that it came out, and that very night, I mean, I had sent it to the publisher before I went to bed, and that very morning, early in the morning, Trump came out and launched an attack on Pelosi. So it caused a lot of confusion. But I want to tell you something. There were plenty of Democrats who were talking about that Pelosi needs to step down. And then what happened? We had a lionization of Pelosi to present her as if somehow she were the goddess of Congress, and she could do no wrong.
See, my point is we don't have time to go either way on that. We have to push on the impeachment inquiry. We don't have time for infighting. If we infight, people like Trump chuckle. They laugh at us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right. We have to keep our eyes on the goal.
Right, but you asked me the question. I'm not really
interested. Oh, no, I get it. You're human. We all react that way.
So how do we there's a media propaganda group that's also tied, and we can also go into all the colleges now and the political science groups. Okay, they're ready to go. The youth have the technology to do this, to put out the
youth may have technology, but what they don't have is the seasoning of people like Richard's experience.
Well, that's why I have you on the show.
Our emotional reactions are part of who I'm a big believer in the emotional environment. And Trump is even a bigger sinner in the emotional environment than anywhere else. And unfortunately, I know what he's like, and that's really scary.
Yeah, okay. We know that. Rich, so what do you think? I mean, really, you're a constitutional lawyer, political science, pretend you're up at there, and you guys are in a room with these political science movers and shakers for bringing in the new propaganda for the new systems. What would you suggest? What else can we do to get focused on why you need to do the inquiry so that you can find out the truth about all the crimes against humanity, war crimes that have been taking place, to shift the systems? What do you do?
The issue of our time, and when I say time, this sort of period of time, the main issue is, are we going to stand up and defend democracy and our Constitution, or are we so disenchanted with the American experiment that we give up and don't fight for those things and allow fascism and authoritarianism to rise up? Because that's the real threat that we're facing right now.
Well, and destruction. I mean, the yell out from the pipeline, and anyone who in Texas and down here, I mean, it's like, oh, and if you're against it, then you're against Trump, and hey, you're going to be arrested. Like, what?
A distraction. I agree with Rich. That's a distraction. We have to focus on
whether
we want democracy or
not. It's way worse than distraction. No, he's feeding the fire, okay, to get more guns, which cause more people for drugs and violence, and the more upset people get, then the more Big Pharma drugs are on the top 50. Drugs and Big Pharma cause suicide and homicide. And how about what's going on with the drug warlords, okay? And how many countries have we destroyed with, you know, and all drug highs are free. I mean, we have been so duped as people. All drug highs are free. It was the intention to get high. You already can access this huge God self that's multidimensional. But are we going to teach that? Oh, no, we're just going to sit and fight over our land, sea, water, air, and whole planet.
I'd like to ask Rich a question. Given the huge women's marches and the huge activism lately, do you think there are enough people that can be active enough to save our democracy?
I hope so, but I'm not sure. I mean, we have a real problem, both with interest, and we've sort of had this foreign influence has been affecting us in that it's been denigrating American institutions and constitutional democracy in general.
Well, I have to step in here. I'm sorry. My brothers were in Vietnam, okay? Forget it. I'm really, really tired of saying, you know, I'm not going to blame any foreign. I mean, look at Saudi Arabia. Look what's going on in the Middle East with Israel. Look what's been going on with the Indians, with the blacks, with the slavery. Come on. Those systems, you have to just kind of say, those systems of warring, drugging, jailing, hate, you know, and even fossil fuels, I'm sorry, we have to transition. It's time. You know, I mean, we just got to say, hey, those systems do not work. They are not working on the planet for Mother Earth, who's mother to all of us. And without this mother, we're all dead. Go ahead.
At any rate, Rich, what I was going to say was I agree with Rich, but so far foreign governments can only intrude technically so much. Where they've really won is in combination with Americans using digital propaganda. And my concern is that American people won't realize that every time they see an ad, it's tailored to them. They should always be careful.
Wait a minute. Let's get, you guys, I got to get this out there. JohnPerkins.org, JohnPerkins.org, okay? If you haven't heard of him, go check it out. And go check out Annie Jacobson, all of her work, all of her books about, you know, Agenda 21 and, you know, the fossil fuel industries. Let's face it, you know, war for oil. My mom knew a long time ago, instead of going into Iraq, military background, it was like, hey, you know what you should be doing? We should be invading the, let's just bomb them with, hey, blankets and food and computers and sports and art equipment and some teachers, language teachers, education.
I think we lost Lynn. Rich,
yeah.
Are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. So,
Come on. The foreign oil company, what we've done in other countries, you know, the economic hitman, you know that, right? Rich, you know about him, right?
Right. I mean, this stems back to the Arab Spring and also to climate change, which has led to a refugee crisis, and also the United States' failure to support democracy. Now we have a president who is very clear. He doesn't support democracy, and he wants to overthrow democracies in other countries. In fact, he wants to be president forever, and he's really an authoritarian mindset. The same with Barr, who is an authoritarian as well, and they're not true believers in democracy, and as such, they're not true believers in our Constitution either. So when we oppose democracy or undermine democracy in other countries, we are directly threatening our own interests, because as democracies fall around the country, that results in the rise of authoritarianism, the rise of dictatorship, the rise of totalitarianism.
Well, there are some schools of thought that believe that this can be reversed, is not permanent.
Well, not without new centers of these, like I said, evolving consciousness centers, where people go to find out who they really are, why they're here, so they have hope to have jobs, a place to live, and they have a good basic guaranteed income that they can use to build cooperatives, start new be paid, you know, this is new government systems that actually foster community cohesiveness and new community coalition outreach projects and jobs and programs, you know, that we have. We've already got the tools. We've already got the systems in place, even here in our county. It's like, come on. You know, we have 22,000 501c3s where people could be paid. The people that are just saying, no, I want to, you know, I'm doing this because I'm older to give back. Well, give the money to somebody in that wants to go work there, you know, that wants to help
that. I will remain to be concerned. I refuse to be afraid. Those people who want a totalitarian regime want me to be afraid. I refuse.
We have tools to rechange all of it, you know, to build these communities of enlightenment, peace, green projects, programs, you know, worldwide. You know, if we can get it started here, get our democracy back in the U.S., get the focus, and the legislation, you know, on real democracy and these legislative projects, the petitioning and legislation and political science groups together with the churches and spiritual groups, green groups, and the caring activist groups, and get it out there and get it on, you know, mainstream media and what have you, we can get all the militaries to stand down and go green. We've already got enough Russians in our country and Chinese, and obviously, you know, South Americans and Africans. It's like, we have multicultural diversity for a reason. Let's use it.
We have a little bit of a difficulty on the left with socialism. And I'm not saying that socialism is bad. And really, I think we need to recognize what people mean when they say socialism. They're not reading
Americans. Most Americans will never, ever meet a real socialist.
Well, yeah, they don't realize our military is socialist, okay? Wake it up. Come on.
So, yeah, they're not reading Engels. They're not reading Marx.
You know, they're not reading Lenin. They're not talking about the bourgeoisie and the proletariat.
There is a very small cadre of real socialists in this country, but they're not very loud, and there's not very many.
Right. And so that what they're doing is...
They're not into killing. They're not into hate.
It's a standard question of demonizing through political language.
Exactly.
Right. So
that's
what
you guys, I'm so thankful. We only have a few minutes there, and I am just so thankful that you two are getting together, because your adroit abilities are way beyond mine.
Let me finish this point real quick. Okay. So, and socialism, and what they're really talking about are policies, and I think that's what we need to be focused on. I think Bernie Sanders is having a problem with this because he's stuck with that label, and he's trying
That's
to defend
his fault.
That label.
He made a mistake. That's his fault.
Yeah, and a lot of people have sort of come to treat this ideology as sort of a religion. Oh, finally they're coming to accept socialism and so forth. Well, I don't think that the policies are necessarily bad, but what we are missing is how fundamental democracy is and how the basic fundamental conflict in the world is not between capitalism and socialism. The basic fundamental conflict going back all the way to the ancient world is the conflict between democratic rule or self-governance versus authoritarian dictatorship.
And people interested in authoritarian rule would have you confuse the two on purpose.
Yes, absolutely. JusticeDemocrats.org. JusticeDemocrats.org.
All Americans are talking about is which way we're going to regulate
capitalism. It's a beautiful site, everyone. They can help very much. AOC works with them, too. JusticeDemocrats.org, because it really...
Rich, if you've ever heard Richard Wolff describe government, is fascinating.
Yeah, Richard Wolff is very interesting, very intelligent.
Are there any specifics that you would recommend that, you know, tell the audience, because they can get on computers and do all kinds of cool stuff, the ones that are awake, they're the ones that are being the law of attraction to this, you know, talk show, to be able to, you know, go out and KJAJ, FM Hill, there'll be a lot of progressives and youth. They're listening and they want direction. They want to hear the truth and they want to help. So what do you suggest to get real democracy, you guys? Tie it up for a couple minutes, each one of you, okay? Real democracy, so go for it.
Well, that's true, and I think sometimes what happens, I was at a meeting with the Poor People's Campaign, and there are a lot of issues out there, but this issue is so important at this time that we all need to be focused on in holding this president accountable. Our democracy is at stake, and this is the central struggle. Right now, there's a struggle between the rise of nationalism, authoritarianism, and white supremacy, all in reaction to the coming crisis of refugees and climate change, and as a result of the United States and other countries' hypocrisy over democracy, and not realizing that when they overthrow a dictator, when they overthrow a democratically elected government, they're helping the other side. So we need
prime
to be
example,
really
we created Iran by getting rid of Iraq.
Yeah.
Right, and now Trump is going to be following Netanyahu's advice and starting a war with Iran and doing it primarily so he can get elected again. So this is just a horrible thing. He will murder people and to get elected. It's very cynical. He comes out and says now, oh, it was going to kill 150 people, and I didn't want to kill 150 people. I don't believe a word of it, because he would have known that before they even started it. And
in every community can be shifted with new jobs, new tech people moving in and doing new jobs, new education, new job creation with new community outreach coalition massively in every single community. Okay?
I think that's long-term approach, a long-term strategy. We need long-term. We need to develop social programs. We need to get out and refocus. We need to defend our democracy, because we don't, as you said, we don't have a full democracy. We think that just because we go and vote once or twice or a few times a year that we have democracy. No, democracy means we have a representative government, a government that's going to represent the people and is not corrupt, not controlled by the corporations, not controlled by the rich. I mean, we have
we essentially have an oligarchy at the moment.
I'd say plutocracy and actually a corporatocracy. Bilderbergs are running the governments of the world, and it's for their benefit only. And we're in some deep duty. They don't even mention the money going into robotic warfare, biochemical, nuclear proliferation, 16 more new. I mean, come on. We have to follow
like
the
Rich
money,
says,
and that's
we need
part
to make
of
sure
following.
That the people. We need to make sure that people in this power-making, decision-making positions are those who share our values and represent us, and from that, a lot of good things will grow.
Right. Our democracy may not be perfect, but just because it's not perfect or because we don't really have a very strong democracy, or we have some semblance of democracy, it doesn't mean that democracy has failed, that democracy is a failed strategy, and that now we are off. Because the only alternative to democracy is some form of authoritarianism, and that's what the authoritarians want to believe. I was at a meeting at the Orange County Poor People's Campaign Steering Committee. And one guy said, the Constitution was written to support slavery, and we don't have a democracy. And so the conclusion is, we need an authoritarian communist regime. And that's not the answer. Yeah, I know. That's not the answer. But we need to think, when people start turning everything that's important, our Constitution, our voting rights are under attack, all these things that we absolutely need, our right to free speech, you know, all the rights.
What was it? Jefferson said something about the price of liberty is eternal vigilance.
Yes, we need to be fighting for that. And just because we have problems does not mean that we give up on democracy and give up on...
Well, perfection is the enemy of the good enough.
What was that?
Perfection is the enemy of the good enough.
Yeah,
and the electoral offices, everyone out there, you computer geeks that want to get some movement here on some specific issues, moveon.org or Credo Action, awesome. They're on the move for trying to get in more information real quick on petitions and legislation movement, but you can also go to the electoral office of every county. Every county has an electoral office. Get involved, and also, too, they have manuals, if you're so fit, and get in with the political science groups and get into the movement of these new systems of evolving evolutionary consciousness programs for healing and stopping the hate, the violence, the drug use, the warring. I mean, we can do this. And then also to the Green New Deal systems of infrastructure. They're really, really needed. Thank you so much, everyone. We're out of time. Love you, too. Thank you, Rich. And
thank you, everybody.
And Rich, real quick, let him get your website again.
Okay, so modernlectionaries.blogspot.com, Bible Study for Progressives is
Alrighty.
My
Thank
podcast.
You. And thanks again. Thank you so much, Rich. And Andy.
Thank you, Andy.
Great. Let's do it again.
Do you want your contact, that email or not, or nothing
Andy
yet?
Andy.special@comcast.net.
All right, we need you guys. Let's interact. Let's talk. Let's do some major shift of these systems, the limited fear-based ego mind program systems that Marianne Williamson understands. She's not going, you know, we all need to work together on this to move into the new spiritual evolution of our species to grow up and go green. So anyway, love you all. Thank you so much. We're going to go out with Patti Becker's song, To Shine Your Light. Think about shining your light. What is that mean? Using the light of God within you to get your answers inside of you and help other people connect to the inner light, the enlightenment center. Thank you.
God stands beside me in everything I do. My God lives inside me and loves me through and through. And if the whole world knew how much God loves them too, what a different world this could be. We would shine with the glory we were meant to. We would shine for In every act of kindness and in every teardrop too. And if the whole world knew that God surrounds them too, what a different world this could be. We would shine. That same power that flows through you, what a difference.